This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner, McPherson's sports talk show.
Bullpups win! Bullpups win! Bullpups win it!
Listen every day, Monday through Friday, from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com. According to Jim is your source for Chiefs talk.
10-5, touchdown, Kansas City, a 106-yard kickoff return right out of the gate.
The Royals.
Swinging a ground ball to third is fair. Fair ball up the left field line. Here's Cologne, and the Royals win it.
College football and college basketball.
8 to shoot, Hall, the runner. Loose ball, it's good! The slipper still fits!
And everything else that's going on in the sports world.
Inside corner, the Royals, 2015 World Champions!
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's your host, Jim Joyner.
Let's do this thing, According to Jim on 96.7 FM, KBBE, or online worldwide at midkansasonline.com. And of course, anytime you miss a show, you can find it on podcast at soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me as always, the most popular man in McPherson, Steve Sell. And Steve, you sure are popular today. It's Bullpup Football Preview Thursday. It's Area Roundup Thursday. We are coming down this home stretch. And if people aren't checking midkansasonline.com to see what you have to say, they're crazy. This is the best time of year.
Well, we're the only place that really goes in depth with coaches' comments and previewing all the games. Of course, our McPherson High Abilene preview already posted. Got all of Coach Pavlovich's thoughts on that. We got three area teams actually playing tonight and three tomorrow night. So got previews up on all those games. The coaches, we got comments from all the coaches. A couple of them this week with playoff or championship aspirations for a couple of teams. Heston plays Marion. That is for a district championship. Smoky Valley, Clay Center's for a district championship. Little River has already clinched a spot. They are a runner-up. And then the other three schools will be playing their final games of the season. Of course, McPherson High already has clinched their home playoff game for a week from tomorrow. And Bueller, we're going to go ahead and say it, Bueller will be coming to town. Even though Bueller has...
Unless they lose the circle.
Unless they lose the circle. And I think they're about a 60-point favorite. So we pretty much know Bueller's going to be here a week from Friday. And that'll just be a great game. But first up, we got some business to take care of.
Yeah, they will have a game tomorrow night. And coming up later on in the show, we will talk about the Bullpups matchup with Abilene. But as we get into this show today, number one, breaking news that happened a little bit about an hour and a half ago was that Joe Girardi will not come back as the manager of the Yankees next year. 10 seasons in the books for him. They made the playoffs 6 times and won a World Series, but even making it to the ALCS Game 7 was not enough for the Bronx Bombers.
Yeah, they're not calling it a firing.
He just will not return.
He will just not return. Well, that to me means you're fired.
Yeah.
But his contract was up, and they have decided not to renew it. And I'm kind of sad. I'm a big Joe Girardi guy.
I like him.
I really thought he did a good job, and I'm a little curious as to their reasoning. I think maybe they want somebody younger in there because they've got an incredible farm system, and they got Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez, you know, the next future Hall of Fame Yankees if their careers progress like they are. But, I mean, it's not going to be anybody in-house, I don't think. They're going to have to go outside of the organization. Tony Pena, we saw what he did at Kansas City.
Nosotros creemos, we believe.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see Tony Pena. And really, they have nobody else on staff that appears ready. So it'll be interesting to see. It's, you know, the Yankees is the number one job in baseball, you know, to manage. I mean, you have more resources. You have probably the best fans, number one media place in the world. So it's one of the greatest jobs to have, and it is going to be very interesting to see who they get. But, man, whoever gets that job, this Yankees team is really built for the future because they have got a farm system. When they got rid of Andrew Miller and Aroldis Chapman, and they made some other deals. They have stockpiled some of the best young talent in the minors, and of course they could use it for deals. And hey, don't be surprised if Eric Hosmer is in a Yankees uniform next year.
Don't make me want to throw up.
You don't think the brothers Steinbrenner aren't going to go out and make a run at Eric Hosmer. He's the best first baseman on the free agent market, probably the best free agent on the market, period. And who's going to outbid the Yankees? The Dodgers don't need – they've got more first basemen they know what to do with, so they're not going to, you know, they're not going to get in the bidding. Boston, of course, would be the other team. It just seems like, you know, whenever there's a free agent, you think Boston, New York, L.A., Chicago. Chicago doesn't need a first baseman. But those are the teams that are willing to spend or overspend, should I say. Eric Hosmer, great player, but $20 million a year, I don't see it.
Before we get rolling on the biggest topic of yesterday and before we dive into Bullpup football, I've got a quick Joe Girardi story, which I think is kind of a cool one. So in the summer of 2013, it would have been like early August, my family and I, we went up to Chicago. We were walking around the Miracle Mile stretch or the Miraculous Mile, whatever it's called, and we were planning that night to go watch the Yankees play at that point, U.S. Cellular Field, now Guaranteed Rate Field or whatever
it is. It'll
be
something different next year.
So we're walking around downtown, and it's about noon, 1 o'clock, and this was actually going to be the day that Alex Rodriguez came back from his big, long suspension. And so there was a whole lot of hype around this game. And we're walking around downtown, and we're down by the Hancock Building, and we're walking. It's my dad and I walking next to each other, my mom in front of us, and we see this couple pass us, a man who was, you know, about our height, and this woman who is just this strikingly beautiful, just fit woman. And then Joe Girardi, well, at this point we didn't know it was him, this guy in a real tight t-shirt, just jacked, this huge guy. And my dad and I both kind of look at him, and we watch as he walks past us, and we both turn and look at each other, and we're like, that was Joe Girardi. And he was just walking down the main street in Chicago, and you think that sometimes those baseball players don't look all that big in those big baggy uniforms. Joe Girardi was jacked. I mean, that guy was huge. He could have murdered me right there on the street. He was so big. I thought it was really cool that we saw him that day and see how big even the manager for the Yankees is. So the big story of yesterday, maybe one of the most exciting World Series games in a long time, maybe one of the most exciting playoff games in a long time, at least since the 2014 American League wildcard game, the Astros and the Dodgers, game number two, a game that a lot of people probably thought was over when Kenley Jansen came into the game in the eighth inning, but the Astros had some life. They did some things late in that game that nobody has done all season long, and the Astros evened up the series in extra innings, winning 7-6. Steve, be honest. Did you finish watching that game?
I did not. I was raising my hand as you said that question. When I saw Kenley Jansen coming into the game, the way the Dodgers bullpen has been, I said, that's enough for me. I'm going to bed. Got a big day. Got to get up, do a lot of work. You know, got to get in early. And when I saw that score this morning, I'm going, what? Did I just sleep through a great game? Because when I went to bed, it was 3-1. And I quit watching. It was 3-1. Kenley Jansen almost never gives it up. And like I said, the Dodgers have just been so good at protecting leads. But the Astros had to have that game. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts. If the Dodgers go up 2-0, you know, the Astros back into the rotation, not nearly as good as the Dodgers. You kind of got to like the Dodgers in 3-4, even though it's in Houston, because, you know, Kershaw, how are you going to beat him? And, you know, Verlander can't lose. Now, Verlander wasn't involved in the decision for Houston, but he only gave up two hits before he left. A couple home runs. So that's a game Houston had to have. I mean, I'm pulling for Houston in this series. I picked the Dodgers in six, but now we got a series. I mean, this isn't going to be a 4-0 series like the Astros had the last time they were in the World Series. They got swept by the White Sox in one of the most improbable World Series. I mean,
and that time probably Comiskey Park.
Yeah, those two teams. Those. I mean, that just seems like an odd matchup in a World Series. Those two teams. But that's besides the point. But anyway,
Scott Podsednik.
Yeah, we.
Paul Konerko.
Yeah, we.
Joe Creedy.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah, well, man, you obviously a big Shy Sox fan. But anyway, we now have a series. because Houston has shown they are a very tough out at home. You know, they got the box car up there in the left field. You know, it's a band box. It's a tiny stadium. And man, what'd they hit last night? How many home runs in that game total? There were a ton of home runs.
There were eight home runs.
Eight home runs in that game. And Chavez Ravine is a pitcher's park.
Yeah.
So, my goodness, what are they going to do in the boxcar bandbox?
Well, you mentioned yesterday, Steve, you were talking about it, that this series is going to come down to the home runs, that all these teams are so good at hitting home runs, and you were spot on. So, get this. Five hits for the Dodgers yesterday in a game that they lost 7-6 in 11 innings. Five hits. Four of them were home runs. They didn't have a hit that wasn't a home run until the 10th inning when Kike Hernandez had the game-tying single to right field. So four home runs, one RBI single for five hits.
And Kike Hernandez, I'd never even heard of him until he hit his three home runs in the final playoff game against the Cubs. And now the guy's become a star. So
Kike.
Yeah, Kike. So anyway, you know, it's going to be a really good World Series, and I'm going to stay with my pick of the Dodgers in six.
Well, the thing that was just crazy about that game, number one, that Kenley Jansen had his first ever blown playoff save. Number two, the Dodger bullpen had a 28-inning scoreless streak going into that game. Then they gave up a run in four straight innings after Kenley Jansen gave up the first run to make it 3-2. They tied it up 3-3 in the ninth. And then in the 10th inning, back-to-back home runs by Jose Altuve and Carlos Correa, and you're thinking, well, this game's over. Then, of course, the Dodgers rally. They get a Puig home run. Then, of course, in the 11th inning, George Springer with the go-ahead home run. That Astros team, to me, Steve, is so much fun to watch because it's all these young guys that are in that lineup, whether it's Correa or Springer, Altuve, Bregman. So much talent mixed with the guys that they've picked up. And get this. Justin Verlander has still not lost. Well, the Astros have not lost a game that Justin Verlander has pitched for them ever.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing that came out of that game was, why did Dave Roberts bring in Jansen, his closer, in the eighth inning for a six-out save? That's going against the way they've done it all year. And I think when you see these playoff games, sometimes a little panic sets in, and they're calling on their guys to do things that they didn't do during the regular season.
My favorite part of the game, I don't know if you got to see this part, but they had Vin Scully come back.
Oh, I saw that.
To throw out the first pitch.
That was fantastic.
And he walked out there and said, hey, I need a catcher. And so they brought out Steve Yeager, who was the 1981 World Series MVP. And then Vin, of course, in dramatic fashion, goes, oh, I threw out my...
Tore my rotator cuff.
I'm going to need a left-handed pitcher. Who can we get? Oh, it's Fernando Valenzuela.
Oh, yeah.
And then Vin gave us the trademark Vin Scully for the Dodgers opening to the TV broadcast.
There is one thing you and I always did every day before every game. So I'm going to ask you to do it on three so they can hear it all the way to Houston. One, two, three, it's time for Dodger baseball! Good night, love you!
Oh, Ben.
Oh, man.
So cool.
Yep.
And whenever you get a mic in front of him, he hasn't had a mic in front of him in like a year. He was itching to get it. Good for him. I love Vin Scully. I was actually talking to some people about it yesterday that I love listening to him. He was sort of the guy that I grew up with, not necessarily watching on TV, but by playing video games. How weird is that, Steve?
That is really weird. So.
Coming up on the other side of the break, it's Bullpup Football Preview Day as we talk about McPherson's matchup with the Abilene Cowboys in tomorrow night's regular season finale and senior night. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim with Jim Joyner podcast. According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Meade's Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
We're back on According to Jim. Jim Joyner, Steve Sell here on 96.7 FM, KBBE, or online at midkansasonline.com. And of course, if you miss any part of the show or want to go back and listen to a show from earlier this week or anytime in our 19 shows, you can find them online at soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports. Steve, it's one of our favorite days of the week. It's Bullpup Football Preview Day as they will take on the Abilene Cowboys tomorrow night at McPherson Stadium. You and I got to talk with Coach Pavlovich this morning, and I think we're very excited for a game that on its surface doesn't really mean anything for either team because the Bullpups already have a home playoff game locked in, and Abilene can't make the playoffs.
Well, I think this is one of those games where it may depend more on Abilene than it does the Bullpups. Abilene, their season's going to be over. They've always had a good basketball team. Some of these kids play basketball, and you just wonder just how much invested emotionally they're going to be in this game, because if they come in, without much intensity or motivation, the Bullpups are going to blow this thing out in the first half. One thing about Abilene, very poor against the run. Hayes had minus yards rushing against the Bullpups. Hayes had two backs over 100 yards apiece against Abilene. So I look for the Bullpups, considering it's going to be very cold, look for them to pound the ball. They'll get the bus out of the garage. Jace Kinnaman, give him the ball a lot. Austin Hunt, he'll get a lot of carries. And if I'm the Bullpups, I really don't want Kyler Hoppus carrying it too much. I just want him handing the ball off. So you don't want anything happening to him. And, maybe we'll see some Jacob Fowle, but I know Coach Pav, his ideal perfect storm would be, hey, let's score about 40 points in the first half and then turn it over and filter in, our younger guys, give them a chance to get some reps. But it's a game. You might see Abilene score some points because I don't think Coach Pav wants to play his starting defense real deep into this game. And if Abilene's first team is going against our second team, generally, a first team should be able to move the ball against a second team. So, again, I go back. I still think it's a lot to do with Abilene, just how motivated they are in this game. If they're not motivated, this game's going to be over by halftime.
You mentioned that it will be cold tomorrow night, so the high during the day tomorrow is 48 degrees. The low on Friday night, which probably won't be until the middle of the night, but 24 degrees. That's a huge change from whatever it was last week. I think it was 72 degrees at kickoff. So we're starting to get toward that playoff football, and you mentioned that this Abilene team has had a couple of problems defensively. Number one, they're giving up 357 yards per game. And one of the numbers that really throws that off is from a game that they won. So they played Thomas More Prep from Hayes in the first week of the season. They gave up 683 yards in that game. And 654 were passing. And they still won the game 32-27.
Oh, that's just crazy. And the thing is, Coach Pavis said he doesn't care how cold it is. We're going to do what we do. We're not going to change just because, it's the last game of the year and the weather may be a little cold. We're still going to throw the ball. We're still going to run the ball. We're going to have that great balance. That's been the trademark of the Bullpup team this year, is because we throw the ball just about as well as we run it. There's been games where we've had more passing yards than rushing yards, games where we have more rushing yards than passing yards, but the bottom line is the Bullpups can beat you either way, and a lot of teams are just one-dimensional. And from this Abilene team, I'm not really sure what they do well offensively. Coach Pav just said, hey, sometimes they run one back, sometimes they run two back, sometimes they run a robust. From what I saw, they only had 162 yards last week. So, obviously, whatever they're doing is not working. It's just hard to believe that we're playing an Abilene team that doesn't have either no losses or one loss, because that's the way it's been when we've played them the last several years. They have been one of the best teams in Class 4A for quite a long time, but it's just they're in a cycle of kids. I talked to their sports guy at the cross-country meet last Saturday, and he says, it's not going to get any better next couple years. He says, we're kind of in a down cycle when it comes to football.
Yeah, just the third time missing the playoffs since 2003. And they do move the ball fairly well on average, 324 yards per game, which 324 yards per game is a pretty high number for high school football, but only scoring 19 points per game. And Coach Pav told me that last week against Hayes, they got inside the 10-yard line five times and did not score any of those five times. Wow. And so that's the type of problem that they're having right now, is finishing off some drives. The other thing, Steve, they are minus 13 in the turnover department. So far this year, 10 interceptions and 12 fumbles. When you combine that with the fact that they're not capping off drives, it's hard to win. It's hard to score any points at all.
And McPherson has, what, three interceptions and how many fumbles we've lost? Only two or three that I can remember.
I think two.
Yeah, and in fact, we've only had, I believe, two turnovers since the first game of the year. So yeah, that is really valuing possession of the ball.
And it's crazy that the Bullpups are only plus four in the turnover department, just because the defense hasn't been this turnover-forcing machine because they're barely on the field because they get a lot of three and outs and a lot of punts. But they had five turnovers last week, and that was their most on the season so far. That pushed them to plus four, and it's about time that they got into the positives there because this defense is so good. And if there was just one thing to nitpick with them, it's the fact that they don't force a lot of turnovers, but when they needed to the other night, they did.
Yeah, and some of them were pretty easy turnovers. I mean,
a couple of easy interceptions.
Tyson Stites, they threw the ball right to him. We had two plays in a row where we dropped potential interceptions, yeah, too, so we could have really had more turnovers. But again, this defense continues to be amazing. I think they're giving up like 7 points a game or something like that this year. And, of course, offensively, they're scoring a ton of points. The offensive line has made some big improvements. Now, they may be without Brandon Wild this week. Coach Pav didn't know for sure if he'd be able to go. Sat out second half last week with a mild concussion. If not, Courtney Craig will step in. And Coach Pav says we also got Shane Starkle, and he's got a lot of faith in both of them.
Yeah, you mentioned 38 points per game for the offense, 7 points per game allowed defensively, and 109 total yards per game allowed. That is so unheard of, to only give up 100. And when you look at just the last 6 games, that number's way lower. It's only thrown off because of the first Bueller MA South game. If it wasn't for those two, they'd be sitting at about 80 yards per game.
But my big concern is we have not seen a team all year with a good passer. And that's still my biggest concern, is how well, you know, our pass defense is against a really good passer. Now, you know, we've got some really good talent in that secondary, but to be honest, they really haven't been tested very much. So as we get deeper into the postseason, now Bueller can throw the football. Next week, Bueller can throw the football. Ben Epp has at times been able to throw it. Mostly, they just run it with Dalton Brown. But if they've got to be able to throw the ball against McPherson, because you know that the Bullpups will be stacked to stop Dalton Brown.
After the break, we continue to talk about Bullpup football and maybe looking ahead a little bit more into next week's games and the rest of the playoffs coming up, because it is getting closer and closer. And next Friday, we will have a huge, and I mean huge, home playoff game to start off the postseason. We're back on According to Jim after this on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim with Jim Joyner podcast. According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Meade's Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Final segment on today's According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com. And you know where to find the SoundCloud page, soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports for the show's podcast. Steve Sell, we are wrapping up the show here on a Thursday afternoon, still looking ahead to what will likely be another installment of the Bueller-McPherson rivalry next Friday night, depending on if Bueller beats Circle. But like you mentioned, they would be favored by about 60 points against that Circle team that has won one time since early on in 2012. This will be one heck of a matchup. We saw maybe the best game of the year in week one, a 33-21 win, and both of those teams were still very raw. Now that they have gotten into their rhythm, both teams, at least on the Bueller side, their stats are a little bit down this year, where Dalton Smyers, their number one wide receiver, had 845 yards and 13 touchdowns last year. This year, sitting at about 450-6. Then when you look at Dalton Brown, their number one running back, he's at about 1,300 yards and about 11 touchdowns after 1,926 last year. this is a Buehler team that is starting to pick things up, especially after the loss to Andale, but this would be just a massive playoff game at home next Friday, and you're going to have to be there at 4:30 to have a chance to get in.
Well, you can't get in until 5:30 because Shane Bakus won't open the gates until then. But anyway, no, the intensity for that first game was just off the charts, and I would expect the same thing, even more, because that was just a season opening game. But when you've got your season on the line, that makes it even more off the charts. I look for standing room only for that game next Friday, and it'll be interesting to see what the weather forecast is. We have not checked the weather forecast, long-range forecast.
Do we think we can trust the weather forecast days from now?
That's true, but
it'll say it's going to be 22, and then the game will come around, and it'll be 68 degrees.
Yeah, but it's going to be a great game, and the one thing Buehler has that we have not seen, just tremendous experience in their offensive and defensive lines. All seniors. Got some great players. Lawson Schultz, just a tremendous player. They've got some other guys that are fantastic, Brandon Webb, yeah. He's going
kid.
To, like, South Dakota or North Dakota. He's already, I think, gone D1 or NCAA D2. So, but that's still a ways away. We got to take care of Abilene. Stay focused on them. And then at about 9 o'clock or about 9:20 on tomorrow night, it's all about Buehler.
Yeah, and speaking of Buehler, the second of potentially three playoff games of the Crusaders tonight, soccer taking on Buehler, trying to win a regional championship. It'll start at 6:30, and you can listen to that right here on 96.7 FM, KBBE. Steve, you and I will be out there. These two teams, they don't like each other very much, and Buehler got the best of McPherson about 2 weeks ago at Buehler. And this is a chance for them to redeem themselves for really losing the Arc Valley League title that night.
Yeah, Coach Adrian had never lost to Buehler. That was the first time. And the thing that really hurt about that game is the Bullpups had the lead, then had a couple of miscommunications apparently in the back and gave up a couple late goals. So Buehler's going to come in here brimming with confidence. The Bullpups, though, they've got revenge on their mind, and they have outscored their opponents at home. I think it's 38-1 now when you count in that playoff game.
It was a win on Tuesday, 1-0 over Winfield. And Charles Osen, their head coach, I talked to him for a second yesterday, and he was saying, man, I'm so proud of our guys for coming out and playing well and giving McPherson a big test. But then he was going, all the best teams in the league, we've played them really well, and now I'm just bummed that the season has to end because they had just started playing so well.
Yeah, and Winfield really stepped up, and they were 10 times better than what they were here, and they just got better as the year went along. And I think it's more of a testament to them getting better than McPherson, not playing up to its level. McPherson played a fine game. Actually, probably should have had about 3 or 4 goals. They missed a lot of, really good chances. But credit Winfield's goalie, Matt Everett, really did a good job. But, man, McPherson Buehler need a big crowd out there tonight. I know it's going to be windy, and the temperature's going to stop to drop. But we play at 6:30, so maybe it won't be quite as cold at 6:30 than it would be like at 9 o'clock or 9:15.
Yeah, we're excited for that one as we'll go on the air at 6:30. Steve, another show is in the books tomorrow. We will talk a little bit more about the area games coming up and, of course, recap the games for Inman as well as Little River and Canton Galva, and then preview the weekend. So another good show coming up tomorrow, and then, of course, tomorrow night, Bullpups against Abilene to close out the regular season. So for Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim today. We'll see you tomorrow at 12:30.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Meade's Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.